My liberty and another's conscience is our topic for this morning. As we continue our study on the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this morning we shall focus on verses 25 to 30. Please follow as I read to you this passage from God's holy word. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 25 to verse 30. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of the other. For why is thy liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? May God bless us once again in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. The laws in the Bible can basically be divided into two types. You have those that are known as apodictic laws, which means absolute, unchanging, regardless of the circumstances in life. Apodictic laws in the Bible stand. Doesn't matter whether you live in the 21st century or the first century AD or BC, it does not matter. Whether you live in this part of the world or in Europe and in America or in any part of the world, the apodictic laws of God applies. Examples of the apodictic absolute laws of God will be the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, whether it is in the 21st century in Singapore or in anywhere on the world, in any century. Stealing is wrong. From God's perspective, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy, honor your father and your mother, thou shalt not covet. All these are examples of apodictic laws. And based upon the apodictic laws, God knows that when we live on this earth, there will be different situations based upon a case-by-case situation. And so there would be the other type of laws in the Bible known as the casuistic laws. Based upon a different situation, the word of God will be applied differently. And so in this morning, when you look at verse 25, that situation was in the shambles. In the shambles means in the meat market. When you go to the market, you see this man selling meat. So the context would be in the market, in the shambles. But when you look at verse 27, it's another situation. In this situation, you have someone who is not a believer who has invited you to his home or to a place for a meal. So the situation changes. So these are known as casuistic laws. In the Bible, for example, you have in the Old Testament a casuistic law where the law is, thou shalt not steal. Stealing is wrong. But what happens if I steal a sheep? I kill it. I sold it. I'm caught. The Bible says in Israel, when Israel was a nation, you must pay four sheep. But what happens if I steal an ox? I kill it. I sold it. And I'm caught. The casuistic law says you pay the owner five oxen. What happens if I kill, or what happens if I steal a person? Kidnapping. The Bible says for kidnapping, death penalty. And so you find examples of casuistic law, different consequences, different kinds of punishment, depending on what you have stolen. But stealing is wrong. That's apodictic. But what if I steal different things? Different consequence. And so in this case, the application of the food offered to idols, can we eat or can we not eat? And so this is the application of it. The Apostle Paul spent two very long chapters, and chapter 10 would be the culmination of his wonderful explanation to teach us. The Apostle Paul's style is always give us the doctrine first, and then he will deal with the issue, the practical aspect of it. And that's what we find in the final few verses of the closing arguments concerning food offered to idols. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he explained by telling us, all food is good to eat, created by God. And since there is only one living and true God, even though food had been offered to idols, you can consume them, and since the idols are not real gods, it is still created by God for our consumption. There is nothing wrong. The food has not changed one bit. You can eat them. It's okay. You have not transgressed. Because if you have the wrong reason for not eating food offered to idols, for example, if you are afraid to eat food offered to idols because you are afraid that the gods may hurt you, you are doing what is right by not eating food offered to idols. But your reasoning behind it is unbiblical. It's wrong. And that's why the Apostle Paul had to prevent this. That's why he gave us the biblical reason, the right reason for not eating. And that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But before he started that explanation, he gave us 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But he shared with us his own personal conviction, which he says should also be the conviction of other Christians. That he said that he was prepared to be a slave to everyone. In other words, I'm prepared to give up my rights. Whatever that is my liberty based upon God's law that I'm allowed to do, I'm prepared to sacrifice every single one of them. If by my sacrifice I can help promote God's kingdom, I can help another person come to know Jesus Christ, I will do it. And that's what he emphasized in chapter 9. That must be the basis. Even though you can eat, but based upon the consideration of others, a higher consideration, which is, do not allow what you are allowed to do in the Bible to cause someone to have a diminished perspective of Christ. To become an obstacle that may prevent someone from accepting Christ. That's chapter 9. And then it begins to explain. Even though you are allowed to eat food offered to idols, but what happens when you know that the food have been offered to idols? To a person who is not a Christian, he really thinks and believes that the idols are real. He really believes that when he offered food offered to idols, he has fellowship with idols. That's what they believe when they offered food to idols. But you and I, we know they are not real. But because these unbelievers, they believe it is real. And therefore, when you eat food offered to idols knowingly, it will be seen as you are also having fellowship with these idols. And that's why the teaching is you are not allowed to eat. The moment you know, you are not allowed to eat. However, if you have eaten without knowledge, and then after that you are told that you have actually eaten food offered to idols, the Apostle Paul in chapter 8 explained very clearly, don't worry, you have not transgressed. You ate it without knowing. That's a big difference. And so now he will apply this. And so this morning will be the application. Verse 25 and verse 26. In the shambles. So if you go to the market, he says, whatsoever that is sold in the meat market, that you can eat. Don't ask any questions for conscience sake. Why? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is made by our Lord, our Heavenly Father. So he owns everything on this earth. And everything that grows out of this earth, including all the animals, they belong to him. So therefore, with this understanding that this is my Father's world and everything that is in this world belongs to my Father, and since we are God's children, you can eat anything that is in your Father's world. It's yours. Your Heavenly Father has given you permission to eat them. So when you go to the meat market, you see pork, you like pork, go ahead and eat. You like lamb chop for dinner tonight? Go ahead, buy and eat. You like to eat beef? Go ahead. You like to eat fish? Go ahead. It's your Father's world. And you are God's children. And therefore, this is yours. For you to consume whatever your heart desires. Not a problem. So you go to the shambles, go to the meat market, buy, don't ask any questions. You can eat. For your conscience sake. So don't go on a witch hunt. For today is the same in our context. You just go to any hawker center, you go to any wet market, you see them selling fish, selling pork, selling chicken, whatever it is, buy, don't, before you buy, ask them, has this been offered to idols? Has that been offered to idols? Has that been offered to idols? Don't have to do that. Context, the market. Just go, buy and eat. Based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it is my Father's world. You can eat whatever your heart desires. Because for your own conscience. Because the moment he asks, and then he said, yes, this has been offered to idols. Now your conscience is now made alive by that knowledge. And therefore you cannot eat anymore. You cannot buy anymore. That's why whatever that is there, just go and eat. Now let's say you go to a hawker center, and you find that this particular stall has an idol on it. And you look at the idol, you look at the food that is displayed. If you feel uncomfortable, don't eat. Buy from another stall. That's what it means. Your conscience is very important. You see, conscience is made alive by knowledge. What you do not know, you do not know that it is wrong, your conscience will not prick you. But the moment you know, your conscience will now begin to prick you. Because conscience and knowledge, they are intertwined. Now that you know from God's word, what is the correct teaching concerning food offered to idols? You have to be very mindful and careful how you approach this subject, especially in our country. When we were in America, when we studied this issue of food offered to idols, the professor and our American friends, they just simply brush it aside. It was a non-issue to them because in America, they do not have the kind of multi-religious society that we live in. It may become like this today. I do not know. That was 30 years ago. But I remember very vividly in class because when they read the text, they just simply skirt over it and just move on. They didn't even bother to explain or elaborate because it's a non-issue in their context. But of course, it may not be food offered to idols, but by way of application, the Americans, they have their own challenges, their own struggle. And that would be, for us, we remember on the month of October, Reformation Sunday. For them, they dress up like devils and goats, pumpkins. That's their celebration. And they have all kinds of superstition and tradition. And so they may not be exactly the same as a multi-religious, in a multi-religious society where you have actual food and actual idols or food in front of idols. But by way of application, they also have their own challenges. So it was not very wise for them to just simply skirt through it very quickly and not understand from God's word what is the biblical teaching concerning what is lawful, but for the sake of conscience, we should not do it. But in this particular case, don't ask for your own conscience sake. Remember, the earth is the Lord's, your heavenly Father, and the fullness belongs to him. So in this case, you can eat. However, when the situation changes, like in verse 27, it's a new situation now. So if any of them that believe not beat you, invited you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, you are compelled to go, you have to go. So you cannot excuse yourself. And whatsoever is said before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake again. Same thing, likewise. So you go to a very important home, could be your boss, invited all of you, the company staff, to come to his home for a nice, let's say, Chinese New Year dinner. Okay, you see all the food there. And some of them are new believers, some are not believers, but they all know that you are a Christian. And so you see the food on the table, don't ask any question, just sit down, you just quietly give thanks, and then you start eating. Whatever that is on the table, just eat. Happily, enjoy yourself. But, before that happens, if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols. And so now, as you are about to sit down, hey friend, I just saw them took all these from the altar in this big room. That's where all this food came from. There is this big altar there. He had offered all of them to his gods. So now as you sit down, you look at the food, your conscience is there now. So what are you going to do? You don't eat, you offend your unbelieving boss. You eat, you stumble. So what is the choice? Because either way, somebody will get hurt. Your boss, who is an unbeliever, if you say to him, I'm sorry, I cannot eat your food. Very expensive, very delicious. He will ask you, why? In front of everybody. I got stomach ache. Right? Don't you give a lame excuse. No stomach ache. Your stomach is fine. I'm allergic. You are not allergic. Give the real reason. And the real reason will bring about, you know, an encounter. And you do not know how he's going to react. I cannot eat because they have been offered to idols. Why? What's wrong with the food offered to idols? It is unclean. Huh? You say that word unclean. He's going to be offended. He's your boss. That's what it means. The context has changed from the shambles to this unbeliever who has invited you to a feast. You have to tell the truth. You have to do what is right. You eat, they stumble. The name of Christ will be stumbled. You don't eat, your boss will be offended. The Bible's teaching is, eat not. Don't eat. Tell him the truth. Take that opportunity, in fact, to use that as a springboard to share the gospel. To tell the person about Christ. Explain to him. So therefore, it is a good thing that you have been told that the food has been offered to idols, and pray for courage. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the filling of the Spirit of God to give you the right words, to bring to remembrance the Word of God that you have already studied and learned. So that at this juncture, not only will your boss hear the gospel, but everyone around the table, all your friends and colleagues, will also hear the gospel that you are now given the privilege and opportunity to share because of this incident. But if he doesn't want to listen, at the end of it, you lose your job, so be it. But always remember that nobody can sack you from any job or any company without your Heavenly Father's permission. So don't keep quiet and be a coward just because you are afraid of losing your job. Then you have failed yourself, you have failed Christ miserably. This is a very real issue, I'm sure, in our context. And I'm sure some of us may be able to identify very much with this particular example illustrated by the Apostle Paul. Eat not. Eat not for his sake that show it to you, the one who whispered to you, who told you, and for conscience sake, your own conscience, and the conscience of others as well, as you can see from verse 29. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Same explanation as you find in verse 26. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Same basis. On one hand, you can eat. On the other hand, when the context changes, you cannot eat. Same argument. Because it is the Lord's. Everything belongs to the Lord. And so therefore, it is okay not to eat. In the case of verse 25 and 26 in the shambles, it is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. You can eat. In the new situation, same explanation, the world is the Lord's, the fullness there is, don't eat, cannot eat. Why? For conscience sake. Do not stumble anyone. The reason the person tells you, that means that person himself is affected. And therefore, even though you have no problem eating it, but the moment you know the food has been offered to idols, you don't eat it. Even if it means offending your boss. Even if it means offending the unbeliever who invited you to the feast. You have to. You cannot do anything to stumble another brother. To stumble someone who has been given the gospel, who is not a Christian yet. This is very, very important in the believer's practical life. Remember, this is within the scope of all things lawful. We are not asking you to compromise the truth. This is with reference to your own personal preferences, where God says you are given the liberty by God to do it, like food. And there are occasions where you should not eat certain food. We live in a multi-religious society, and our culture originated from idolatry. Every Gentile nation's culture originated from idolatry. The only nation whose culture was ordained by God and did not originate from idolatry was Israel. Even though Israel, by their many, many years of transgression and idolatry, they have mixed, but they have brought idolatry into the mix. What Christ gave to them as they started as a nation in the days of Joshua, everything ordained and originated from God. God never gave Joshua and the elders or any of the people in his generation when they entered the promised land as they started their lives as the nation of Israel in the promised land. None of them was given even one tiny little choice or contribution concerning what the nation of Israel ought to be like. Everything given to them by God from their day-to-day minutest way of life, what to eat, what not to eat, when to wash, when not to wash, what are their holy days and what are not their, all these things, how to keep your holy days, everything, the meaning and significance of the holy days, all these are prescribed by God so that the culture and everything about Israel ordained by God. But for us Gentiles, everything originated from idolatry. And with the passage of time, some aspects of our culture have lost its idolatrous significance. And so therefore, it just simply become a culture, a practice that we have been doing, passed down from grandparents, great-grandparents, to our parents, to us. It has lost its superstitious nature and flavor. It has lost all its spiritual, idolatrous significance. And that aspect of us, God also knows. And God called us to be his children by salvation grace in Christ. He left us behind on this earth before he takes us home to be his witnesses. And so God understands that the Christians in Singapore, even though they may be Chinese, they are different from the Christians in China who are also Chinese. God knows that the Christians in Africa, the Christians in Japan, in China, in Europe, they all have different culture, and so therefore they will express their Christian faith differently based upon their culture. But the heart and soul, which will be the truth, which will be the gospel, which will be the doctrines, all the same from the Bible. But the expression of it and the practice of it will be different. When we were in Kenya, when we were in Tanzania, in Africa, when we worship with our African brethren, I won't insist how we worship to be done here. They have their own way and flavor of worship. They do it differently. And that's why when the African brethren came over here, I still remember that evening when they were invited to present a song item of praise during the evening, Sunset Gospel Hour. I know that in Kenya, when they sing, when they presented items at the Bible College, they always sway. 10 of them, they all sway in unison. They all know how to sway. They don't knock into each other, you know, left and right. I mean, Singaporean, you get 10 of them to stand in front, sway. They're going to knock each other. Somehow, Singaporeans don't have any inbuilt, you know, ability to keep a tune. Some can, but most of us can't. And so they know. They just stand up there. The moment they start singing, they know how to sway. They don't even say, okay, ready, get set, sway. They never say that. They just start singing only, they just move. And all same direction. Because right, left, if somebody left, right, they knock. Right? No knocking. And so when five or six of them, I remember when they came up to sing in Sunset, I was watching. How are they going to sing? Are they going to sway or not going to sway inside Calvary Pandan Sanctuary? Now, this is Singapore. This is not Kenya. And so when they started to sing, I watched. No swaying. They stood still. They sang. So after they finished, after the service, I asked them, did y'all want to sway? Reverend Quek, we control, we don't sway. Because they know this is Calvary Pandan, Singapore. So they didn't sway. Because if they were to sway, I think some of you will probably put notes on the pastor's table. Why did they sway? You're going to be stumbled. But their culture, when they are there, they sway. Down here, we don't sway. So we sing, we stand still, we sing. Right? Just now when you all sang, stand up and sang, nobody moved. I said, our mouth. Actually, we should smile more and move more. But we don't sway like them. They do. That's their culture. So God knows different Christians in different countries, they will have their own culture, but the guideline is the same. Never, never practice a culture that will cause the conscience of a brother or conscience of anyone by stumbling them. No matter what, the principle remains the same. And so in our Chinese New Year, we have this dish called lo hei, right? You shouldn't. I might not pronounce it properly because Chinese is not my second language. Malay is my second language. Okay? Mandarin is my third language. If you can call it a language, because I think only know 10 words. Should we or should we not? As a church, inside the church, when we have our dinner or whatever fellowship, the guideline is we don't practice it. You want to eat the dish? You can eat the dish. But no tossing, no saying any words, no replacing of the words with some Christian words. You just want to toss it and mix it to eat it? Go ahead. But not in the church. Because the church is God's house. It's different. In your own private little home, if you want to eat this dish because you like it, your children like it, your family like to eat it, go ahead, eat that dish. It's just food. But even though you are allowed to eat it in your own home, but do so judiciously, very carefully, whether by doing it you're going to stumble people. If it does, don't do it. Mooncake, that's another one. Because mooncake and lantern, they go together. In Singapore, does it carry any superstitious significance? If it does, then you don't. There's nothing wrong with eating the mooncake. It's delicious. Some of you might like it. It is sweet. And you like it because they also now create many different flavors. It's got durian, mooncake. By eating it, there's nothing wrong with eating it. But we know that in Singapore, they still carry with this notion of belief. Now, this is from the internet. They say that in Singapore, it is held to commemorate the selfless act of Chang He, the wife of a merciless ruler who drank the elixir of immortality to save the people from her husband. And then she died. And then he's supposed to have a spirit going all the way up to the moon. And so this mooncake festival with the lantern has this particular significance as practiced in Singapore. Now this is a write-up from a title of an article called Singapore Mid-Autumn Festival. And so this is the explanation. And since it still carries with this superstition, disbelief. So again, in the church, we don't light lanterns. We don't encourage children to light lanterns and so on. But there's nothing wrong with lighting a lantern. Lantern is just a lantern. So at home, you want to play with lantern and so on, you be careful, don't go and burn your house down. It's just lighting lanterns. But you don't go and join any of these community centers when they all come and light lanterns together. You're a Christian. So in that context, you don't do it together with them. But you want to light a lantern in your own house for the sake of lighting lantern, you can light it 365 days of the year. It's just a lantern. So still, privately, you want to do it in your own home, do it judiciously and very carefully so that you do not stumble anyone. Do not cause anybody's conscience to be stumbled. Eating the mooncake, go ahead and eat. Nothing wrong with this. Another one would be the rice dumpling. The miniature pyramid-like looking rice dumpling also has its own connotation. So the church will not celebrate it, but you want to eat the dumpling, it's available throughout the whole year, go ahead. But do not follow any of our own cultural practices that continues to carry with it some superstitious notion for fear of stumbling the conscience of anyone who is watching us. The conscience of a believer and the conscience of an unbeliever who knows you're a Christian, whom you are reaching out with the gospel. Think before you eat. Think before you act. There are a lot of people watching. Now, we already explained in the past what this doctrine of the conscience means. It doesn't mean that since I am all alone, I can drink, I can eat food offered to others. It's not when you're all alone. The conscience simply means, if you eat it alone, and somebody asks you, did you eat food offered to idols knowingly? Now you ate it while you're all alone, knowingly. Now you stumble, no one, nobody watches. But if you're asked, what are you going to say? You're going to say yes. Then the person will ask you, why do you do it? Knowingly, the Bible says you should not. Now you're going to be in trouble. You can't lie. You mean you're going to lie and say, no, I never. You know you did privately, nobody watches. So this conscience idea is not only when somebody is watching. So nobody watching in private, I can do what I want. That's not what the Bible teaches concerning the doctrine of conscience. Your own, verse 25, 26. Don't ask. The moment you know this food has been offered to idols, you just don't eat for conscience sake. Verse 29 and verse 30. So the first situation, you can eat. Don't ask. Second scenario, in an unbeliever's house, have a feast, cannot eat. To the one who showed it, for conscience sake, his as well as your own. Verse 29, verse 30, can or cannot. Conscience, I say, not my own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? Why should what God permits me to do result in stumbling another person's conscience? I must never, never let that happen. For if I, by grace, be a partaker, that means if I, God gave me permission, say from God's word, I can eat it, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Why would I want to eat something that God has given me permission to eat, but by eating it, it results in someone saying that what I have done is evil, is wrong, and I stumble that person? That's what it means. Now remember 1 Corinthians chapter 8? You can eat. Because the gods are not real. You can eat because the whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You can eat. That's what verse 29 and verse 30 says. Think of the other person. It's only food. You can eat other things. Don't. For conscience sake. Even though God tells us you can. But for another higher reason, a higher purpose. Don't cause someone to speak evil of you, evil of Christ. Reject the gospel of Christ because you want to do something just to accommodate your personal preference. The Apostle Paul's counsel is, don't do it for a higher reason, for the sake of Christ, for the conscience of the weaker brethren. Many, many problems and issues and difficulties could be easily resolved. When we think of other people first, before we think of ourselves. But very often we do not do that. We think of ourselves first, before we think of others. And this is seen sadly, tragically in Singapore when we approach a buffet table. It is very shameful that when we approach a buffet table, whatever I like, I pile it on my plate. You don't just simply take one or two pieces, thinking that there may be also other people who like what I like. And if I take every single piece of them, or leave only one or two pieces for others, and then I take the most of it, where is the Christian principle of thinking of others first? Sometimes you see this, very sadly, when we went on a pilgrimage in Israel a few years back. We saw this. It was very sad. The Christians would do this. Go up to the table whenever it is meal time, dinner time, or breakfast time. Whatever they like, whatever their children like, they just pile on top of their plate. Don't care whether it's enough for others, whether it should be left behind for others. They must have it first, and they don't just have one or two. They take most of it for themselves. No care for others. And it's not just only once. It's like a practice, a pattern. It's like a collusion. That if the father is not doing it, the mother will do it. It's just like Abraham and Sarah. Before they came off Ur of the Chaldees, let us buck up, okay? Let us say we are brothers and sisters, just in case. Let's say, whenever we go for buffet, if I don't take first, you take, okay? Make this prior arrangement. This has to stop. This has to stop. Because people are watching. They may not come to you and tell you because they are afraid that if they tell you, you might just simply blow up in public. We have to think of others. For Jesus' sake, your life and my life, as long as you call yourself a Christian, you have elevated yourself to a level that is a God witness. The moment you say, I'm a Christian, that's exactly what you have become. You're telling people that you look at my life and you're going to see the image of the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. You know how great an honor that is? You know how what you have just said means to you and to the people around you? And then you behave in this shameful manner. A manner that is completely uncharacteristic of Christ. Christ came down from the ivory palace, the hymn that we sang, to a world full of woe, full of sin, full of wickedness, full of evil. For what purpose? Why would the Son of God from such a safety and wonderful heavenly throne, a heavenly realm, come down to a world full of woe, full of pain and crying and wickedness and sin? Because he loved you and me. So that he can die for you and me. And now that you say you are a disciple of Christ, a Christian, a child of God, then live and behave and walk like a disciple of Christ. And in this particular regard, in this context, which we have been emphasizing for the past few months, your personal liberty, personal preferences must always take the back seat and think of others before you think of yourself. Now, after this, we are going to have lunch, and we are told that there will be fruits on the kitchen counter. Now, let's see how we're going to behave. You see all the nice strawberries, and you love strawberries. And you're going to pile your plate with all the strawberries? There are also other people who like strawberries. You ask her, you stand out there and shout, anybody don't like strawberries? Nobody likes except you. Okay, then you take. You take that. Nobody likes. Think of others. It's only food. Even if you have to starve, let yourself starve. It's okay. Let others enjoy. Is it so bad for Jesus' sake? Jesus gave up heaven for you and for me. He's asking us to give up some delicious food and think of others. Is that so hard a request? If you are not prepared to give up some delicious food to think of others, guarantee you're not going to give up anything more. Because giving up food is nothing. You're not going to die in the process. It's just some taste buds. Are you going to give up your life? Are you going to prepare to give up your family? You're going to prepare to give up your job? You're going to give up your freedom? If you can't give up something so minuscule, like food, for the sake of Christ, you are probably never going to give up your family for Christ, your freedom for Christ, your job for Christ, and your life for Christ. Definitely you will fail because you can't even pass this simple basic test. My liberty and another's conscience. Please, think of others before self. What you can do, what you cannot do, what you know you should not do. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of thy holy word, to help us realize and understand the importance of our witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we call ourselves Christians, others will begin to see Christ in us. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times and many occasions when we have failed the Lord Jesus Christ in not bearing a holy witness because we have served self, because we have cared only for our own liberty and not another person's conscience. Help us, O Lord, from henceforth to be very mindful and careful of how we speak and how we conduct ourselves, especially with reference to things like eating. May we always think of others and not commit any act that may be evil spoken of, even though the act that we do may be allowed in the scriptures. We pray, Father, that you will open our eyes, that we may see the need and the understanding and the importance of obeying the simple command to think of the other conscience. For if we cannot obey thee faithfully in things so simple, how can we obey thee faithfully in things eternal? Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and may thy Holy Spirit continue to sanctify us by thy truth, for thy word is truth. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.